Hello, welcome back to Ask a Monk. This next question is a pretty good example, I think, of how not to ask questions on this forum. And that's because it specifically, it seems quite clearly to be a presentation of one's own philosophy in the form of a question. Because here we have a premise and a question. I'll read it to you. I want to ask about non-duality. When one doesn't distinguish the two realms of samsara and nirvana, then there is no goal. So my question is wanting to transcend rebirth selfish? But what you have here is a complete philosophy that exists in Buddhism. In Buddhism there are many philosophies, and they're not all compatible. This one I happen to not agree with. This is a complete presentation of this philosophy. And it's clearly so because the premise and the conclusion that is presented in the premise, which the implicit conclusion being that striving for the end of rebirth is selfish, it has nothing to do. They'd have nothing to do with each other unless, except in the greater framework of this philosophy, this specific philosophy. So. It seems clear that the purpose of this post is not to ask a question, it's to present a philosophy, which is not really appropriate. Now, I'm not sure this is the case. It may be that the person asking is really interested and really thinks that I believe that these two things are indistinguishable and somehow thinks that that has some effect on the question as to whether transcending rebirth is selfish. I don't see it. Briefly I'll go over this, but this isn't the kind of question that I'm interested in asking. I would like to be answering questions about meditation and about, that really help you understand the Buddha's teaching and understand the meditation practice and improve your meditation practice and help you along the path. So, but anyway, the premise, why I disagree with this philosophy, the idea that samsara and nirvana are indistinguishable is just a sophism. It's a theory, it's a view. It has nothing to do with reality. If you experience samsara, samsara is one thing. This is samsara, the seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the feeling, and the thinking. It's the arising of suffering and the pursuit of suffering. Nirvana is the opposite. It's the non-arising of suffering, the non-pursuit of suffering. And the experience of it is completely different. The reason why people are unable to distinguish it is because they haven't experienced it. Everything they've experienced is the same. They practice meditation and their experiences come and go, and so they relate that back to samsara and it also comes and goes, and everything comes and goes, and they say nothing is different. So they're unable to distinguish one from the other, which is correct, really, because everything is indistinguishable except nibbana, nirvana. Everything else arises and ceases. And this is why the Buddha said that nothing's worth clinging to, because it all arises and ceases. So it's basically equating two opposites or confusing two opposites. It's like saying that light and day, night and day are indistinguishable, light and darkness are indistinguishable, which theoretically is you can come up with a theory that says that is the case, but it doesn't affect the reality that light is quite different from darkness, and that's objectively so. And nirvana and samsara are objectively so as well, no matter what theory or philosophy you come up with, because you can come up with any philosophy you like, and it doesn't have any effect on reality. Now, as to the question, I'm assuming that the implication here is that somehow that premise implies that or leads to the conclusion, supports the conclusion that freedom from, or the desire, wanting to transcend rebirth is selfish. I'm assuming that's what's implied here. So I can talk about that. Selfishness only really comes into play in Buddhism, as I understand it, in terms of clinging. So if you cling to something and you don't want someone else to have it, if you ask me for something and I don't want to give it to you, it's only because I'm clinging to the object. There's no true selfishness that arises. It's a clinging. It's a function of the mind that wants an object. You don't think about the other person. What we call selfishness is this absorption in one's attachment. And only by overcoming that can you possibly give up something that is a benefit to you. And we're able to do that as we grow up. It's not because we become, well, it could be because we become what we call more altruistic, but that hasn't, that is not the way of the Buddha. That's not the answer, because this idea of altruism is just another theory. It's another mind game. And there are people who even refute this theory and that say, you know, how can you possibly work for the benefit of other people? But the Buddha's teaching doesn't go either way. There's no idea that working for one's benefit, another person's benefit, is better than working for one's own benefit. You act in such a way that brings harmony. You act in such a way that leads to the least conflict. You act in such a way that is going to be most appropriate at any given time. And it's not an intellectual exercise. You don't have to study the books and learn what is most appropriate, though that can help. For people who don't have the experience, you understand the nature of reality through your practice and therefore are able to clearly see what is of the greatest benefit, what is the most appropriate at any given time. And it might be acting for your own benefit, it might be acting for someone else's benefit, but that the point is not either or. The point is the appropriateness of the act. So if someone comes and asks you for something, many things might come into play. It depends on the situation. If you ask me for something, I might give it to you, even though it might cause me suffering. There may be many reasons for that. It could be because you've helped me before. It could be because I am able to deal with suffering and I know that you're not. If you know, I have practiced meditation and I am able to be patient or so on, and I can see that you're not, I can see that giving to you will lead to less suffering overall, because I can. For me, it's only physical suffering. For you, it's mental, and so on. I might not give you any of it because I might see that you are not going to use it, or I might see that if you are without it, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn patience, and so on. You know, there are many responses. This is talking about an enlightened person. If a person is enlightened, they will act in this way. They will not. It will never arise to them, my benefit, your benefit. Because there's no clinging, and that's the only time that selfishness arises. So the idea that wanting to transcend rebirth is selfish really the idea of selfishness doesn't come into play. It has nothing to do with anyone else, and the only way you could call it selfish is if you start playing these mind games and logic, and it's an intellectual exercise where you say, well, if you did stay around, you could help so many people, and therefore it is selfish to, you know, but it's just a theory, right? It has nothing to do with the state of mind. The person could be totally unselfish, and if anyone asked them for something, they would help them. But they don't ever think, boy, I should stick around, otherwise it's going to be selfish, because there's no clinging, there's no attachment to this state or that state. The person simply acts as is appropriate in that instance. So the realization of freedom from rebirth, or the attainment of freedom from rebirth, is of the greatest benefit to a person. If a person wants to strive for that, then that's a good thing. It creates benefit. If a person decides to extend their not work towards the freedom from rebirth, and they want to be reborn again and again, then that's their prerogative. The Buddha never laid down any laws of nature in this regard, because there are none. There is simply the cause and effect. If you if a person decides that they want to extend their existence and come back again and again and be reborn again and again, thinking that they're going to help people, then that's fine, or that's their choice, that's their path. There's no need for any sort of judgment at all. If a person decides that they want to become free from suffering in this life and not come back, be free from rebirth, then that's their path as well. There is only the cause and effect. So a person who is reborn again and again and again will have to come back again and again and suffer again and again. And you know, it's questionable as to how much help they can possibly be, given that they are not yet free from clinging, because a person who is free from clinging would not be reborn. And the person who does become free from rebirth, who does transcend rebirth, so to speak, is able to help people because their mind is free from clinging, and therefore they are able to provide great support and help and great insight to people. The Buddha is a good example. Now, there is the question of whether the Buddha and enlightened beings do come back, and because there are even philosophies that believe a person who is free from clinging still is reborn. But that's not really the question here. So, or it's getting a little bit too much into other people's philosophies, and I don't want to create more confusion than is necessary. So the point here is that we work for benefit, we work for welfare, we do what's appropriate, or we try to. This is our practice, and an enlightened being is someone who is perfect at it, who doesn't have any thought of self or other, and is not subject to suffering. When they pass away from this life, they are free from all suffering, and there's no more coming back, no more arising. So, basically, I just wanted to say that this is not the sort of question that I'm hoping to entertain, and I think probably in the future I'm just going to skip over, because I got a lot of questions, and I'm going to try to be selective. I've been quite random, actually, in choosing which questions to answer, because it's difficult to sort them. I've got a lot of them, and Google doesn't make it easy by any means. So I'm going to try to skip and go directly to those ones that I think are going to be useful for people. Okay? So, anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been another episode of Ask a Monk, and wishing you all peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering.